The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're having a great Sunday. Hope this weekend's been terrific for you. I am here each and every Sunday morning 8 to 9 a.m., providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. We call our show Dollars and Cents, and I hope that we can knock a little sense into you or give you the sense that you're looking for when it comes to managing your money or your financial future. We don't necessarily always talk about the stock market. We can talk about insurance. We can talk about spending money. We can talk about going out to eat. We can talk about anything and everything as it relates to money. And so what I thought I'd share with you is an email that I got just this past week from a listener who tuned into our show a couple weeks ago. And she wanted to share something with me, and I thought this was really valuable and something for you to consider. We all own cars. We all need a car to get around, and I know a couple weeks ago I talked about the great experience that I had at CarMax in Danvers. I know we've got a lot of auto dealerships that advertise here on the station. I know them all well, and they all do a great job. It's just that my son was looking for a used vehicle. We decided to go to CarMax just to see what the experience was all about, and I will tell you, folks, the experience was great, very simple, very easy. But this woman sends me an email and she says, Mark, I heard you on the radio and I actually went to CarMax because I wanted to buy a car. And everything that you said, exactly as you said it happened, it was just a great, great experience. But what was interesting is she found the car that she wanted through their internet portal at the shop there. And the car was located in Delaware. The actual car that she wanted was located in Delaware. And they said, not a problem. We will ship it up to you for free, no cost. And when it arrives, come take a look at the car. If you like it, you can buy it. If you don't like it, no harm, no foul. And so she did. She went and saw the car. Car was perfect, exactly as she thought it was going to be. It was described perfectly and exactly as they had mentioned it on the site. And so she decided to finance the car. She wanted to sit with the business manager and finance the car. And she has a wonderful credit rating. She said, in fact, her credit rating was over 800. So getting credit wasn't the problem. Here's what the problem was. It was actually a problem. CarMax would not finance her car. And that's because she was smart and has an automobile policy, an automobile insurance policy that has a $1,000 deductible on it. When you have a higher deductible, you generally have a lower cost for your insurance. Well, CarMax doesn't like that. CarMax wants you to have a lower deductible. Because if you get into an accident, they're going to get less money if you have a higher deductible. So here's what happened. They told her, and it's actually stated right on their brochure, they will not finance a car to anybody who has a deductible higher than a $500 deductible. And at first I thought, that's kind of odd. Why would they do that? And then I turned to Marion, my business partner in the office, and I said, help me through this. Walk me through. What am I missing here? And she said, imagine this. Imagine you're buying a used car. Remember, CarMax is in the used car business, not in the new car business. So the margins on used cars can be awfully small compared to the margins on a newer car. So let's say you wanted to buy a car for $15,000. You put nothing down on the car. Bought a car for $15,000. Well, you know that there's a markup in the car already on that used car. So when you drive it off the lot, if you were to get into an accident, for instance, what do you think it would cost to fully replace that car? If you just drove right off the lot and got into an accident, totaled the car, what do you think it would cost? Perhaps $12,000, perhaps $11,000. Well, imagine this. What if you had financed all $15,000 and you total your car and you now get into an accident that has a $2,000 deductible? okay? You would put in your claim, and let's assume that the insurance company would say, okay, the car is worth, replacement value is worth around $12,000. If you have a $2,000 deductible, the insurance company pays $10 to you, right? And that means that you have $10, but you owe $15 to CarMax. Are you going to be able to pick up the difference of that $5,000 that you still owe to CarMax? Absolutely not. You'll probably blow them off. You'd rather not pay it. But if you had a lesser deductible, you're going to have a larger check that you could contribute to paying off the debt that you've secured on that vehicle. So CarMax is being very smart here. I mean, not that they're being sneaky. They're treating this like a business. It's a smart move. At first, I thought there was something wrong with that. But when I really thought it through, there's a reason why they don't want you to have a high deductible on your car, because they would be in the hole for picking up the difference in the financing, the amount of money that you put out for financing. They'd have to eat that. They don't want to do that. Generally, those costs were paid out in commissions, servicing costs, whatever it might be. So they're being smart there. So understand that if you go to CarMax to finance a car and your deductible is $1,000, $2,000 on your automobile policy, you're not going to get financing there. Now, would other banks offer it? Absolutely. She went to Digital Credit Union, I think, DCU, and they were happy to do it. If you've got a relationship there, the bank's willing to take more of a risk because they know you as a customer. They might see that you have other resources available, other assets, but CarMax doesn't know that. You know, so think about when you go to other auto dealerships, and I'm just picking on CarMax here, but let's say you go to any of the other dealerships, see what kind of a financing deal that they can offer to you when you have a higher deductible on your auto insurance plan. Just something to think about. And so I always appreciate listeners of the show sharing some of their stories, sharing some of the lessons that they've picked up here on the show, sending me their thoughts, because, you know, we learn something new every day. This was something that was, frankly, new to me. I really hadn't thought about it that way, but I understood now why CarMax does that. At any rate, we've got a bunch of things to talk about today. Later in the show, we're going to talk a little bit about Cramer. I've found some interesting news about Cramer, and you may be a little surprised about Cramer's prowess for picking stocks. I mean, that's what everybody goes to. Cramer's the great stock picker, the great stock picker. Well, I guess there's this new movie that's going to be coming out called Money Monster that's coming out that I'm looking forward to seeing. And in preparation for Money Monster, there was some research done about Cramer's successes and failures and whatnot. I'm going to share that with you a little bit later in the show. Also, we've got some rules. How many people that are listening to the show have actually decided to shack up with someone else after maybe you've lost a spouse, maybe widowed, divorced, whatever it is, but you decided we're just going to shack up, we're not going to get married? Think about that. There are some rules for shacking up with someone else in retirement. Some reasons why you do it, some reasons why you just don't get married, you just kind of hang out together. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, but right now, I want to share with you something that came out of, where was this out of? Money Magazine, actually. It was called The 10 Red Flags That Signal You're in Big Financial Trouble. And so I thought I'd run some of those by you, and these are some of those things that people don't want to talk about. They went, everything's going just fine. I'm doing just fine. Everyone's, you know, I got money in the bank, or everything's going great. We don't need to talk about this. Well, we're going to talk about some of those uncomfortable things that many people don't want to share. This is the stuff that they don't want to talk about. Everyone wants to talk about the winning stock they bought, or the great investment that they made, or their beautiful car that they purchased. But how many times have you driven by a house that looks beautiful on the outside, and you walk inside and you go, where's the furniture? And they've bought this magnificent looking house, so it has great curb appeal, but inside they can't afford a piece of furniture in the house. We have a couple of those just in my own neighborhood. So here, let me share with you some of the financial mistakes, what we call the 10 red flags that signal you're in big financial trouble. Number one, well, number one's rather obvious. You have revolving balances on your credit cards. Look, you can't carry balances. The average credit card balance right now is $16,000 that Americans carry on their credit card. And at a rate of roughly 18 to 22%, that is an enormous cost that you were laying out, especially when all you can get is 1% at best at the bank. You cannot afford to keep revolving your credit. The other thing that I always find funny about the revolving credit thing is people think, ooh, I'm going to buy this. It's on sale, but I'll put it on my credit card. Now, look, if you're going to pay off your credit card every month, great. You've got a great deal. But if you're buying something on sale and then plan to carry the balance on your credit card, you never bought it on sale. In fact, you're paying a premium for it because the difference in what the real cost was and the sale price was will easily be caught up after 1 year. And then if you don't pay it off in 1 year, it's multiple costs after that. You need to be careful. We're going to be talking about additional red flags that signal you're in big financial trouble in the next segment as well, because we're up against the clock here. But before I run away, I want to remind you about a couple things. Number one is please sign up for our free newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday morning at 10:30 in the morning. It lands right in your inbox. And to tell you the truth, the 10 red flags that signal you're in big financial trouble was in this week's newsletter. So if you'd like to get many of the items that I talk about on Sunday, you want to get more details, more information, sign up for the newsletter. It's free. I promise you, when you sign up, I won't be calling you. I'm not going to bug you. I'm not going to say, hey, I saw you signed up for our newsletter. Want to come in for an appointment? No, I'm not going to do that. I don't do that. I'd love to have you come into the office for an appointment when you think it's ready, not when someone like me is bugging you to come in for an appointment. You do it when the time is right. And when you want to schedule an appointment with us, it's free. Initial consultation, you just call the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Give the office a call. We'll set you up for a free initial consultation. We'll see if we can work together. And I'd love to meet you as well. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we get back, more on 10 red flags that signal you're in big financial trouble right after this. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Did you know right now here in Massachusetts there are more than 5,500 children in foster care? These are kids from our own communities, and they deserve to grow up in a loving family, a family like yours. Plummer Foster Care knows that many of you have thought about fostering a child, but you may ask, am I qualified? Is my house big enough? What if I'm single? Well, the good news is you don't have to be married or partnered, rich, or even own a home. You just need room for one more and a desire to make a difference. Plummer Foster Care offers training, 24/7 support, monthly stipend, and experienced parent mentors. Visit plummerhome.org to find out more. May is National Foster Care Month, a perfect time to decide how you can make a difference in the life of a child.
If you're thinking about being a foster parent, you should do it because it's so much fun and the reward is great. Kids need families to grow up. That's just what they need.
Visit plummerhome.org today.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
If I had a million dollars.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm here in studio overlooking the beautiful North Beverly train station, where it appears that not many people are awake just yet. The parking lot is relatively empty, but they are starting to fill in over at the depot over. I can see people are coming in for breakfast. So maybe they're having breakfast first and then heading over to the train station off to do something fun on Sunday. Perhaps you're off to see a baseball game, a lacrosse game, see the kids in a show. Maybe you're going for a walk, or maybe you're heading up to Gloucester or to Beverly. You know, there's lots of things. Have you been in downtown Beverly lately? Man, is that place just taken off. The Cabot Theater is just a tremendous place to go see a concert, to go see a show. There's the Larkham Theater over there. There's lots of restaurants, lots of things to do. I know Aurelia Nelson will be on after me, and she usually brings you up to date on some stuff that's going on around town. But, folks, you got to get ready. The Music Theater, they're opening up. They got lots of great shows. The Stoneham Theater, they've got some great shows. I'm not here to promote them, but I go to all that stuff, and I love to be part of it. You see, when I was growing up, I was very involved in the theater community. I was a big Stage One guy over at Peabody High School, president of Stage One, been in a lot of plays. I travel in the musical musical group Up With People. Maybe you heard of them. They've come through the North Shore a few times. I actually got to perform in the halftime show at the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 20, when the Patriots played the Miami Dolphins. I was the guy in the yellow sweatshirt on the 50-yard line. I'm sure you all remember. You don't. No. Well, I can send you the video clip if you'd like to see it. It's available on Facebook and YouTube and all that kind of stuff. Anyways, we're here to talk about some additional red flags that are signaling you're in big financial trouble. The first one that we talked about was this revolving credit card thing. Folks, you can't carry revolving credit. You have to stop. You have to stop. Now, some people go, well, it's only a little bit and I'll pay it off soon. Pay it off. If you have $20,000 in the bank and you have a $5,000 credit card bill, take $5,000 from the bank and pay off the credit card. Why would you do that? But someone might say, well, then I'll only have $15,000 in the bank. But okay, so here's what you get to do. You get to pay the privilege of basically sending, oh, I don't know, if you've got let's say you have a $15,000 credit card. Would you rather, let's say you have a $5,000 credit card. Would you rather send $1,000 as a payment, $1,000 in costs, not paying down the credit card, $1,000 every year to the credit card company, or have $5,000 less in your bank account? It just doesn't make any sense. If you have $20,000 and I'm telling you to pay $5,000 of that towards the credit card, just get rid of the darn credit card. Don't worry about the $1,000 a year. It's going to cost you the interest to keep that credit card alive. Now you say, well, my credit card interest isn't all that bad. It's 8%, it's 9%, it's 12%. Folks, unless it's 3% or less, pay off the card. All right, number two, you rely on payday loans to cover your bills each month. Now I'm hoping none of you are in that type of a spot, but this is one of the worst examples of living beyond your means. If you're relying on payday loans to cover your bills each month, how about this one? You've been turned down for a consolidated loan. Let's say you've got an automobile loan. You've got a home equity loan. You have credit card debt. You have student loans. This is a sure sign you are already overextended and that your debt-to-income ratio is too high. I want you to think about something. So years ago, when we got into this credit crisis, lenders were offering money borrowers with a very high debt to income ratio. For instance, let's say your income is $100,000. Let's say your gross income is $100,000. If you want to see how much money you can borrow from an entity, right now that number is around 28%. Okay, so I want you to take of $100,000, that's $28,000. Divide that number by 12, because $28,000 is the annual amount you could spend. Divide that by 12, and so you're a little bit more than $2,000 a month. Okay, a little bit more than $2,000 a month. If you have payments outstanding right now of greater than $2,000 a month, now I'm not talking about your electric bill, I'm not talking about, you know, cable bill, anything like this. These are just committed monthly debt payments that you have to pay on mortgage, home equity, student loan. If that number is over $2,000 a month, you're not likely to get any more credit. Now, lenders back in 2007, 2008 were offering debt to income levels of upwards of 40 and 45%. That was a very dangerous time. I want you to think about all of the debt payments that you make each and every month. Add up what the cost is for your mortgage, for any automobile costs, any other types of student loans, credit cards. Add up what those monthly payments are. Take that number, multiply it times 12, and then divide it into your gross income. And then you can determine whether if you needed to get more debt, if you needed to borrow more money, you can now find out whether you'd be eligible for it or not. Now, some banks will go up to, say, 31%, but 28% is that number that you should be looking at. All right, here's some more. 10 red flags that signal you're in big financial trouble. Number four, you're hiding your spending behavior from family members. Man, do I see this a lot. I think I've told this story about a client. My producer thinks this is pretty funny. He can't stop laughing over here. Maybe he's doing it himself. He doesn't. Oh, honey, I'm not telling you about the cigar purchases I'm making. But I had this guy come into our office. This was early on in my career. My dad was in the business. He's a young guy. He was in medical sales. Comes into the office and he starts talking about hiring us as a financial planner. He had heard about us. And we're going through the process. And we said, you know, well, he says he's married. I said, well, you know, normally we like to do this with your spouse. And he says, yes, I understand that. He says, well, I was hoping that we could have a second meeting. A second meeting? What do you mean? He says, well, I thought maybe I would kind of give you a full and complete profile of my financial situation. And then when we met with my wife, we could kind of just narrow it down a little bit and only focus on a few issues. Well, what do you mean? My father said. He says, well, my wife is complaining that we don't seem to put away enough money and we don't have dollars for this and dollars for that. But the reality is that I have a pretty big expense account with work. I take people out, I wine and dine them. But sometimes in order to keep my clients happy, I have to use my personal credit card because I'm limited to the amount of money that I could spend on my expense account. So I put those dollars out. And so what's really happened is over the past 5 years, I've continued to tell my wife that we haven't gotten any raises or bonuses, but in fact, we really have. I've just been using those to pay off the credit card to try to hope that over time, we'll be able to build up better relationships with the clients that we have and perhaps make more money over time. So Barry, I would really appreciate it, as he said to my father, if when my wife comes back in, that we just kind of talk about this cash flow analysis, this type of income report that I've prepared for you, rather than the full and actual one. And my father said, you know, I'm sorry, but right now we can't help you. But I can tell you where you do need some help. He says, let me introduce you to a marriage counselor. And I thought for sure my father, I thought for sure this guy was going to get up from his chair and take a swing at my dad. And this guy was humbled by that comment. It was like there was this aha moment that went off in his head. And he says, you know, maybe that is it. Maybe that's what we need to do, is get some marriage counseling and we can both figure this thing out together. And I'm shaking my head sitting on the other side of the table. I'm going, how the heck did he know to say that to this person without, you know, seeing a punch fly by his forehead? Sure enough, this guy disappears and he comes back 5 years later with his wife. Everything's all cleaned up. Everything's all secured. And he comes in to work with us for a couple of years. Then he ends up getting a promotion and moves out to Minnesota. So we haven't seen him since. But I'm telling you, if you're hiding your spending behavior from family members, you need to stop doing that. Number five, you finance your vehicle for more than 5 years. That's a huge red flag. Financing your vehicle for more than 5 years. Folks, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You know, 5 years is a long time to own a car. Now, some people have owned cars for 10 years and 12 years and 20 years, and that's great. That's a smart thing to do. But you shouldn't be paying on it for that many years, because this is what ends up happening. I'll see somebody finance a car for 5 or 6 years. After 3 years or so, they say, you know, I'd really like to get a new car, but I still owe money on my existing car. So what they do is they go out and they buy another car and they finance that new car. And they take the outstanding loan that exists on their automobile loan from the first car, and they say, let's go refinance and wrap it into our equity loan. So they get an equity loan at the house. They add it to the equity loan there. They add the auto loan. Maybe even if they have a few extra credit cards outstanding, they throw that into the equity loan as well. So instead of paying off the balance of that auto loan in the remaining 2 years that might have been left on what was required, they now spread those 2 years out over 20 years with interest payments and principal payments and all sorts of costs. It's a foolish, foolish mistake. It is a road to disaster. If you finance your vehicle for more than 5 years and then try to refinance again and refinance again, stop it. Here's number six. You get more than one late notice per year. How often do you get an email or a letter from the credit card company or from some collector saying, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, it appears that you've been late for your payment? If you get more than one of those a year, you have issues. You need to create a better system for figuring out when you pay your bills, how you pay your bills. You should know when they're due. Now, so many companies will give you the opportunity to set up automatic payments. For instance, if you're paying a car payment or something that's the same amount every month, Set it up through your credit card. Set it up through your bank account. I use Bank of America because I love their online banking system, but any type of bank will do this. You set up an automatic payment and it happens. Or set up an alert from your banking system that says, oh, this is the time when your gas bill is normally due. Why don't you check to see what it's worth and pay it? You don't want to be late. You don't want to be ruining your credit scores, folks. Number 7 of all, we're going through the reasons, 10 red flags that signal you're in big financial trouble. Number 7, you get more than one bounced check per year. If you're bouncing checks, that is a very painful and very expensive process. I think banks are now charging $20 for a bounced check. And sometimes when you write a check, you might be writing a check for $18 to somebody. Boy, isn't that painful. That's 100+% fee. Folks, you don't want to bounce checks. Know how much you have in your checking account. And secondarily, many banks offer the opportunity to have credit protection on your accounts. They oftentimes do it at no cost, so that if you do happen to drop below the balance, they'll cover you for a little bit. Talk to your banks about that. Here's number 8. You need to get a cosigner for a loan. Folks, if you require a cosigner for a loan, you're not responsible enough and not ready to have a loan. It's that simple. Don't put mom and dad in an awkward position where they feel obligated to co-sign on a loan for you. Don't feel obligated that you and your girlfriend and or boyfriend and or friend need to co-sign on a loan. If you're going to take a loan out, you own the loan. Look, if you're going to purchase a house as tenants by the entirety where both you and your spouse own the house, of course, both names go on the loan. That's something different. But if you need a co-signer for an automobile loan, or for a personal loan at the bank, or even for a business loan. Yes, that's right. Even for a business loan, if you can't afford to do it yourself, if you don't show enough collateral, enough income, enough net worth and financial resources, you should not be getting a cosigner for the loan. You might think, well, I'm sure I'll pay it back. You'll be all excited. But you know what? The person who takes the biggest risk is the cosigner, and you shouldn't have to put them in that position. We got 2 more here to go through. We got 10 red flags that signal you're in big financial trouble. You're listening to Dollars and Cents today. We're providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. We're gonna take a quick break in a minute, but let me see if I can get through these last 2 before we go off to our break. Here is the last 2 red flags that signal you could be in financial trouble. Number 9, you find yourself borrowing from your friends and families. I used to have a friend. Granted, we were in high school. Every night, whatever we were doing, we would end up at Denny's across from the Liberty Tree Mall. We would end up there. It could be 11 o'clock. It could be 2 o'clock. We'd all go to Denny's. And you could know, sure enough, we'd all order. The bill comes, and this buddy says to us, I forgot my wallet again. And it almost became a joke. We were 16, 17, 18 years old, and the kid never had money on him. It used to drive me nuts. Do not borrow from friends and family. You'll never get paid back. And number 10, you lack an emergency savings account of at least 3 months' living expenses. Those who are living from paycheck to paycheck can become completely derailed by even the most modest, unexpected expenses, such as the need for major car repairs. So, all right, there you have it. If you find yourself participating in 2 or more of these practices, then you better get your financial house in order. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I got to tell you something about Cramer that might really, really surprise you. This story that just got released from CBS MarketWatch will be of great interest to all of you, and I'll tell it to you when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 4.5.
New Meadows Golf Club in Topsfield is the North Shore's premier 9-hole public golf course. Golfers of all skill levels find the unique course design challenging and pristine conditions amazing. The meticulous grounds at New Meadows are the best around. Join a golf league or start your own. For golfers age 17 and under, receive a 50% discount on greens fee. To book a tee time, call New Meadows at 978-887-9307. That's 978-887-9307. Online, newmeadowsgolf.com.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. when you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement. Call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Bill Henny's North Shore Music Theater has announced the 2016 blockbuster season, and you won't want to miss a single show. The extraordinary season begins in June with a stunning all-new production of Bonnie Girl.
I'm the greatest star.
In July, Mary Poppins flies into North Shore Music Theater with a spoonful of sugar and a whole lot of magic. The summer will end with a splashy new production of Singin' in the Rain.
Singin' in the Rain.
Then prepare to laugh a lot when you see Monty Python's Spamalot, the Tony Award-winning smash hit musical. The season will end with one of the greatest classic musicals ever written, West Side Story. Become a season subscriber and see all five shows from the best seats in the house locked in at the lowest prices. For subscriptions, tickets, and information, visit nsmt.org and make a memory to last a lifetime.
Welcome back to Dollar and Century Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We're about halfway through the show, a little after 8:30 here. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a great day. Looks like a few more cars are starting to pull in here to the North Beverly train station as we sit here high, perched above the treetop studio here at North Shore 104.9 right here in North Beverly. If ever you're in the neighborhood and want to swing by and get a tour of this palatial studio, feel free to do so. All you need to do is find the North Beverly station, train station, look across the street, and boom, you have found it. It will be that easy. Hey, you can swing by here and pick up your bumper sticker, your North Shore 104.9 bumper sticker. They'll be giving away free gas starting in a few weeks. That's coming up. So, I know gas is cheaper, but still, you'll take free gas, won't you? All right. Hey, I got to tell you this story. I was in my office a couple days ago, and this story comes across the CBS MarketWatch feed. And it's all about Jim Cramer. It's on the heels of this new movie that's going to be released. It's called Money Monster, and it stars George Clooney as a financial news host with a show similar to Jim Cramer's Mad Money. In the film, a less sophisticated investor named Kyle Budwell takes Clooney's character hostage with a bomb vest after losing all of his money because of a bad stock recommendation made on TV. Perhaps you know where this story's going. Or perhaps you don't. Because perhaps you turn on the TV and you watch Cramer and he goes, buy, 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 or sell, sell, sell. You hear, see all of those different types of graphics and pictures and all of his animation and everything. And people are calling. You listen to some of these people. They're college kids that are calling him. They're seniors that are calling. All ages, everybody loves Cramer. What do you think of this stock? What do you think of that stock? And Cramer readily says that he will tell you straight out that the stocks that he recommends and the stocks that he talks about are generally part of his charitable portfolio. He has to say that. He has a very big, large charitable fund. And if you want, you can sign up for his newsletter. He has a newsletter that he puts out, and it's a $15 a month newsletter that people can learn about the buy and sell strategies that he's doing right in his charitable trust. Well, you'll never believe the number of people that are registered and signed up for his newsletter. It's a huge amount of people. In fact, in March 31st, there was 71,900 total paid subscribers. 71,900 total paid subscribers who paid $15 a month to his newsletter. So think about it this way. If Jim Cramer gets it right or gets it wrong, he's still making 17,900 times 15 every month. That's a lot of money, folks. That's, well, I don't know, put it close to $1 million. A little more, like $1.2 million a month. Not bad. Now, granted, he's not keeping all of it, but not a bad gig just for a newsletter, right? Because he's getting paid to do all of these other things. He gets to do his Mad Money show. He gets to do all these other things. But here's what's interesting. This is what's called the power of the press, the power of the media. Did you know that since 2011, Cramer has not beaten the market? Did you know that since inception in 2001, since he started doing this, so 15 years, he's underperformed the S&P 500? Now, many people think that Kramer's the guy that's going to take him to the moon. He's going to do fabulous for him. But you know what? He hasn't. And I'll tell you what. I talk about this all the time, year after year after year, show after show on the radio, that buying stocks, trading stocks, is a loser's game. The people that make money are the brokers that try to sell you, because every time they sell something and every time they buy something, they make money. Does it matter whether you made money? No. Do they consider about the tax liability? No. Kramer certainly doesn't have to worry about the tax liability in his charitable trust, because all of the trading activity that he does is tax-free. Or at least it's tax-free because it's in a charitable trust. No taxes to pay. When you buy or you sell, you're going to pay taxes on it, unless, of course, it's in your IRA. So I thought it was kind of interesting to learn a couple things here. It says, Mad Money host Jim Cramer has built a lucrative career as a stock picker, but a new analysis of his charitable fund, a personal stock portfolio that he co-manages that the financial website he founded has built a subscription service over, shows that he does not beat the market. Doesn't beat the market. Does that surprise you? It certainly doesn't surprise me. I've been saying this for years. Jim Cramer, it's not that whether it's Jim Cramer or Joe Broker, they don't consistently beat the market. They get lucky. They'll tell you about some stocks that have done well. They never share the losers with you. And it reminds me of a story that I went to, of an event that I went to several years ago. I went to a conference run by Ron Barron, who runs the Barron Group of Mutual Funds. He holds this shareholder meeting, kind of like how Warren Buffett holds his annual meeting in Omaha, Nebraska. Ron Barron holds his shareholder meeting in New York City. And about halfway through the conference, Ron brings out the portfolio managers of the various funds. And he asks them to talk a little bit about what they're doing in each of their portfolios, what they're currently looking at and liking. And they talk about some stocks. They talk about some innovations. They talk about a lot of stuff. And then they open it up for questions. And this guy in the third row stands up with a microphone. There's 4,000 people in the auditorium. And I forget the name of the stock, but he stands up and he points out to one of the portfolio managers. He says, last year, you recommended, you said that you were buying this particular stock. I forget the name of it. If I knew it, I'd tell you. He says, and you told us all the virtues. In fact, you even had the CEO at this conference, along with other CEOs, talking about the company, the virtues of the company, what it's doing. And I ended up going home after that conference and I bought the stock. And he says, now that stock's down 45%. What can you tell me about the stock? Why has it done that? And the portfolio manager very simply said, I don't know, because I sold it about a month after he made the presentation. Stock pickers of mutual fund companies are there to buy and sell when they think it's right, when they know the right time to buy it. They don't announce to you, portfolio managers don't announce to their shareholders that we're buying this today and selling that today. If you're there to buy a mutual fund, you shouldn't be trying to replicate the portfolio that the portfolio manager has built. Do you know why? Because even when you go to see what the portfolio holdings are, when you grab the prospectus, when you go to Morningstar.com, go to Yahoo.com, go to take a look at what the top 10 or 15 holdings might be within a mutual fund. Did you know that that list that you're looking at is 90 days old? It has to be. They don't share what their portfolio is today. They share what it was 90 days ago from their last quarterly report. When you hire a portfolio manager, or when you go to a financial advisor who goes and chooses portfolio managers of mutual funds for you, these guys do this every single day. They're buying and selling stocks. They're doing it right because they have a team of hundreds of people to support them. They go to visit the locations. How much time do you think Kramer, the news broadcaster, the media hound, the writer, the blogger, how much time do you actually think he spends researching the stocks, making the buy and sell decisions? If I'm Kramer, I've got a team of people that do this for me, and I just brand it the Kramer portfolio. That's got to be what he's doing. Now, granted, he's a smart guy. He knows a lot of people. He knows a lot of stuff. People come to him with lots of ideas. But Kramer's a trader. You need not be a trader. Unless you have an enormous fortune and you can allocate, say, 10% of your fortune to just winging it, you should not be doing that. We also had a client that came in a couple weeks ago, and this client has decided to move his portfolio over to us. He had been working for a few years with another radio personality. And this radio personality was promoting these, we would call it safe strategies. I won't use I won't use the full expression of it because that might give him away. So we went and decided to work with this guy, $600,000. And what he did was he set up a portfolio for my client, and he bought a portfolio of mutual funds, stocks, and exchange-traded funds, none of which what I would call safe. But in aggregate, this advisor believed it was a safe strategy. But not only to make it even less safe, he made 232 trades in that portfolio over the course of 1 year. And the client paid $12.95 for every trade that was made. And the client grew worried. He felt like he wasn't making any money. He wasn't. But what was worse is he didn't even know if he was making any money because all he got was a monthly statement that just showed the value. He didn't get performance reports. He didn't get anything that compared it to indexes, to anything, to any type of a benchmark whatsoever. All he saw was activity because he was convinced that activity is what makes money. And in fact, when we looked at his portfolio over the past 3 years, it lost money, and get this, lost money. And so when he went to the advisor to tell him that he was thinking about moving, the advisor said, well, we believe in this process. You just have to stick through it. Yet at the interim, at 230 some odd trades at $12.95 on top of the management fee that he was paying, seemed to be an extraordinarily expensive trek to go on to lose money year after year after year when the benchmarks that it should be compared against, we're doing so much better. So you have to be careful. Folks, if there's a lot of trading going on in your portfolio, if your advisor's doing a lot of trading, if you're doing a lot of trading, I would advise you to stop. Stop trading. Stop trading. Rebalance if necessary, but stop trading. Now, many people ask me, Mark, what would you do? The market's been pretty volatile. It went down almost 10 or 12% at the beginning of the year. Then it picked itself back up, earned back everything that it lost. Now it's off a percent or two. What do we do? How do we invest new money? What's the right strategy for investing new money? Well, here's my thought. If you have cash, if you have new cash that you're investing, maybe you receive an inheritance, maybe you're getting a rollover from a 401k plan, maybe you have money in a CD that's coming due. If you want to build a portfolio that's what's called a growth with income portfolio, it's designed to both grow a little and also produce some interest and dividends to you, I would encourage you to do this. Number one, allocate any of the money that you have to your income side, the bond funds, the multi-income funds, the bank loan funds, whatever. Invest all of that money that you had allocated to those funds right now, today, whatever, just the same day. But the money that's going into the stock market, I would take that allocation and split it over 4 months. If it's a lot, maybe 6 months. And make purposeful purchases on the same day every month. Now, most financial advisors can do that very, very easily for you. Chances are if you work directly through Fidelity or through Schwab or something like that, they can set that up for you as well. But have a plan. Have a strategy. Don't just say, okay, today's the day, we're going to wing it. That's not prudent. But that's how I'd approach investing new money today. Of course, you want to know your financial situation. You want to know how much risk you're willing to take. There's a lot of other factors. One of the things that I've talked about on this show is something that we call risk-alyze. We use it in our office for all of our clients. What we do is we take a look at, and even for prospects as well, what we do is we take a look at your existing portfolio, enter it into our risk-alyze software, and give you a risk score. We're going to let you know what type of risk exposure do you have in this portfolio. And what does risk exposure mean? What it means is it's going to look both backwards and forwards. It's going to take a guess. Now, that's the best we can do because no one knows. No one has that crystal ball that really works. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at your portfolio. And we're going to say, based upon the current investments and or the asset classes or indexes that you have, we're going to look back historically at how they've done. And based upon the historical information, we can take a pretty good guess that within the next 6 months, your portfolio will return between X and Y. It'll be some kind of a negative number and some kind of a positive number. Now, generally, a 60-40 stock to bond portfolio might fluctuate between, it could lose as much as 10% in a 6 month period of time, but could make as much as 15% in a 6 month period of time. But what's interesting is never do I get the number that it will lose everything. Now, owning stocks, whole nother story. Owning mutual funds, you have some protections. You have diversification. The world would have to end for it to go to zero. Now, granted, there's a 5% risk that we're not right on these analyses, and that's the way numbers work. But if you'd like to see your portfolio analyzed, if you'd like us to do a risk analysis for you, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or just drop me an email at Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. And finally, if you'd like to sign up for our weekly newsletter that includes a lot of the tidbits and information that we share on this radio show, go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of the page. You'll see a button that says sign up for Mark's newsletter. Click on it, and you will be all set and sent ready to go to get my next newsletter that will come out Friday at 10:30 in the morning. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll kind of recap what we talked about today and also just throw in a few other little extras and ideas to share with you, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Don't have enough time to go to the gym? Grab your phone and download BenchBro, the hottest finger-tapping fitness app.
With BenchBro, you'll test your reflexes, your concentration, and your finger-tapping skills as BenchBro helps you achieve your virtual dream physique.
This is a fitness resolution you can finally keep. Download our free app, BenchBro, today.
BenchBro.
Available on the App Store
and Google Play.
No membership required.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We are in our last and final segment, but we are here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Thank you for joining us, of course. I love having so many listeners. I've been getting emails from folks, questions from folks. Of course, we've met many of you, and many of you have become clients, and I really appreciate that, too. If you'd like to work with a firm like ours, if you'd like real, authentic financial planning, honest investment advice that is fully transparent so that you know how everything works, where it all is, putting your whole life together, give me a call. My phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. You know, I joke when I give out the phone number because I also laugh as I'm saying it, because I know when someone asks me, Mark, when's the last time you actually wrote down a phone number or dialed a phone number while you were listening to a show in the car? First of all, don't you get arrested for that? Maybe we should be banned on the radio from offering up phone numbers, because most people who listen on the radio are driving in a car anyways. What, should I text you now? Drive, smash into a telephone pole? I mean, maybe we are the contributors to some of these accidents because people are trying to call. I don't wish that was the case. But the reality is I know and you know that you don't call 800 numbers because you just heard us, or phone numbers because you heard it on the radio. But hopefully over time, hopefully if you're a regular listener, if the time is right and when the time is right, if you'd like to work with our firm, Friedman Financial, I'd be delighted to meet with you. And yes, you do meet with me. I don't push you off to somebody else. There's not this whole litany of people working back in my office. It's just six of us. And you've met the other financial planner here on this radio. Her name is Marion Gilman. We do everything together. It's not her clients. It's not my clients. We work on everyone together. Yes, I travel. Yes, Marion travels. So we cover for each other, of course. But our clients feel so comfortable because they know that there's two certified financial planners working for their best interest. All right, earlier in the show today, we talked about a few things. Number one we talked about was the 10 red flags that signal you're in big financial trouble. I'm going to run through them again really quickly. If you'd like to see what they were, sign up for my newsletter because it's available in the news, in our newsletter that we put out. It's called Planning Pointers. It did come out this past week, this story, but if you go, if you sign up for the newsletter, you can have access to every single one of the old newsletters, and they go all the way back, believe it or not, to March of 2009. I find that hard to believe. Almost 7 years, 7 times 52 editions. Wow, that's a lot. That's 350 plus editions. Wow. Anyways, here are the 10 red flags that signal you're in big financial trouble. I'm going to run through them rather quickly. Number one, you have revolving credit card balances, revolving balances on your credit card. Number two, you rely on payday loans to cover your bills each and every month. Number three, you've been turned down for a consolidated loan. Number four, you're hiding your spending behavior from family members. I know, I'm talking to you. Yes. Yes, I'm talking to you. Just hopefully your spouse isn't sitting next to you. Or you're giving each other some very uncomfortable looks right now. Number five, you finance your vehicle for more than 5 years. Don't do that. Number six, you get more than one late notice per year. Number seven, you get more than one bounced check per year. Number eight, you need a cosigner to get a loan. Number nine, you find yourself borrowing from your family and friends. And number 10, you lack an emergency savings account of at least 3 months' living expenses. How'd you do? If you happen to find that you did two or three more of these practices, there's some red flags that are popping up, folks. You don't want to get yourself further in the hole. Try to fix them. Now, that's not something that a firm like mine does. We don't get people out of debt. We don't do debt consolidation. We don't help you apply for government loans and government assistance programs. When people come to see us, they are cash flow positive, meaning that what comes into the house is enough to cover their expenses and there's extra money left over to save. Or perhaps they're approaching retirement and they need to figure out how to use all the resources that they've accumulated to replace the paycheck that they once had. Those types of people are great prospects and clients for our office. Another thing we talked about today was the problem that Jim Cramer is facing these days. You're going to hear more about this, but with the recent movie that's coming out called Money Monster, which stars George Clooney as a financial news host with a show similar to Mad Money. In the film, a lesser sophisticated investor named Kyle Budwell takes Clooney's character hostage with a bomb vest after losing all of his money because of a bagged stock recommendation made on TV. Folks, there's a lot of research that was just done by the Wharton School of Business in preparation for this movie. And there's a portfolio that's called Cramer's Action Alerts Plus Portfolio. This is part of his charitable trust that he talks about all the time. It has underperformed the S&P 500 since 2001. 15 years. And in fact, 2000 and things have gotten worse for his portfolio since 2011. Since 2011, in 2011, the Action Alerts Plus portfolio lost 9.5%, while the S&P 500 was flat. In 2014, a really good year for the market, the Action Alerts Plus portfolio run by Jim Cramer rose 1.3%, while the S&P was up 11.4%. So if you're tracking Jim Cramer as your financial advisor and you're taking his advice for what stocks to buy, understand that here's how Jim Cramer is making his money. If you buy his newsletter, it comes out, you pay $15 a month for his newsletter. And he sells right now, hold on, I just had the number here in front of me. I want to get it right for you. It was something like 70,000, there it is, 71,900 subscriptions. 71,900 times 15, you do the math, and you can see how much Cramer makes every month just from people who subscribe to his newsletter. But what's interesting is over the past few months, his subscription number has decreased. In fact, he lost 14% of his subscribers last year, down 11,700, which meant the year prior, he actually had 83,600 subscribers. He's lost 11,700 and 5,000 in the past month. People are losing favor with Kramer. He's getting exposed. Folks, he's an entertainer. I love entertainment. You love entertainment. But folks, understand, he's providing advice for people that have much, much, much more money than you have. You and I don't have the resources to play in the Jim Cramer world. We should not be buying individual stocks. You should be relying on mutual funds, on exchange-traded funds, understanding the risks that are involved, understanding the costs that are involved, and making sure that the investments that you purchase align properly with your risk tolerance and your time horizon. This is critical. The financial advisor that you might work with should be able to provide you with that proper instruction. If you want to do it on your own, you can certainly find lots of resources that are available. But if you're using Cramer as your benchmark, if you're using Cramer as your financial advisor, folks, I'm cautioning you, you are making a mistake. He's not talking to you. And yes, I'm picking on Cramer, but I'm also picking on all of these other guys that you watch on CNBC, whether it's the halftime report, whether these guys that sit at the desk and they talk about options trading, what they're buying and what they're selling. Folks, they are buying in 100,000 share lots, in 1 million share lots. They can buy these securities a lot cheaper than you can. They know when to get in and when to get out. Because remember, how often do you hear them talking about, well, I'm buying Oracle stock today because it's a really great purchase to buy. And then never again do you hear when they sold Oracle. They could have sold it 3 days later. These sessions called fast money, that's exactly what they're doing. It's fast money. It was purchases that were designed to be made and held for less than 72 hours. That is not real. You and I don't do that. You and I have to be more serious with our money. We have to work in a world where you understand what's going on, and it's my job and my honor to be here every single Sunday from 8 to 9, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. I'm happy to do that outside of the radio station as well, if you'd like to meet with me personally and schedule a free initial consultation where we take a look at your entire financial circumstances and give you the advice that you need. Give me a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. We got to get out of here. I hope everybody has a wonderful Sunday. I'll be back here again next Sunday from 8 to 9 on Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.